Hello and welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will and this is the internet's most retrospective music podcast. On the show this week I'm joined by James.
Hi.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this episode we're going to be taking a look back at 2023 by way of three lists. I've tasked everyone with coming up with a list of five somethings. So I haven't put any constraints on what those things can be, but the list must be five items long. Who wants to kick us off?
I can kick us off. Yeah, let's go. I have quite a weird list, so let's get into it. My top five is top five segues / transitions. So I feel like over the in our year of review, we found a lot of albums that have tracks that lead into other tracks nicely. And yeah, I was just thinking about the year in total, and I was like, yeah, we've had a lot of that. Another thing we've had is a lot of sax solos, but I decided not to do that top five. So I've decided to go for top five transitions. It's an odd category, but I think transitions and smoothness between tracks really make songs feel like stories and as a whole. Obviously, not every album needs to be a concept piece, but it's nice when you don't get thrown about all over the place. You actually transitioned into the next tracks. I think a lot of the albums I mentioned here have good transition through each of the songs within the album. It feels like a complete thing, but there are standouts in those albums because they have specific things about them. A lot of the albums I mentioned are albums we reviewed this year. That's mainly because that's the main things I've been listening to. But also I have probably missed things that we have reviewed. there's just a lot coming out this year, last year. And so I couldn't cover everything. Before I get into the top five, I'll be cheeky and have some honorable mentions. My first one is our top album, which is Lehi by Sampha. And the tracks I mentioned here are Stereo Color Cloud, which transitions into Spirit 2.0. I mentioned that because that last part of that first track mentions Spirit, and then it goes into a song called Spirit, and that's really it. There's also Good Lies by Over Mono. This one's a bit of a weird one. There's this track called Good Lies, and it goes into Good Lies outro, and I thought that was quite a cool thing to happen. It's not really a transition, I guess, because it is just a continuation, but it does have a different feel to it, and it transitions well. And then my last honorable mention is Canto Ostinato, Eric Hall's performance of that. Obviously it's an existing piece, but I think the separation he has made between those tracks as a whole works really well, and the sounds he chooses as well, they transition well together. I'll get into the top five I have for 2023 now. This is definitely not going to be everything that came out this year, the first album I have is Janelle Monáe's Age of Pleasure. There's a track called Champagne. The track starts with Champagne. I won't say the rest of the track. And it goes into Black Sugar Beach. If you listen to that, it just works well. It's pretty smooth transition throughout the whole album. But this one is just like super satisfying. I guess you could call the next track a continuation of the last track. But I do feel like there is enough separation between those two, but it just works well. And the whole vibe is different. But yeah, that album as a whole is quite fun. So if you haven't listened to it, do listen to it. I guess I'll move on to my number four place. And that's going to be King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards, The Silver Cord. So the band King Gizzard, they have they have a lot of albums, and in those albums, they just transition really well between tracks. And this album isn't anything different. One transition I want to mention is Gilgamesh into Swan Song. This one stands out a bit more because it feels like a continuation of Gilgamesh, but it does do very different stuff. That album as a whole is it's a bit weird. Bit of a different route from what they've done before. It's an interesting sound if you decide to give it a listen. My third album is Raven by Kalila. And the two tracks I want to mention here are On the Run into Mystical.
As soon as you said transitions, I knew this one was coming.
There's a lot of segues in the tracks in this album, and one I just want to pick out here, is On the Run into Mystical. On the Run finishes with Kalila picking up her phone and saying hello, and then it goes into the Mystical bit, and there's references to calls and tones and all of that throughout the album. So I just thought that was nice, but I mentioned that one, but there's plenty of that throughout the whole album. Number two spot, I have Black Classical Music by Yusuf Days. The one I'm talking about here is Early Days, which goes into Chasing the Drum. Picked this one because I just thought it was super sweet. It has, so Early Days is kind of just like a recording of his child playing drums, just having fun. And he decided to record it, and I thought it was very sweet. But then it leads into this actual drum track, drum and saxophone, which is just really, really enjoyable, really nice. And it just felt there's more meaning to that transition than on the surface. It feels like maybe that's his vision for his child, because the drums actually sound good. The stuff the kid is doing sounds like it actually has rhythm to it, probably better than most kids can do. So yeah, it just felt like a vision for Days, for his child. So yeah, that's why that's at the number two spot. And finally, at number one, we again have King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. But this album is... here we go. Petro Dragonic Apocalypse, or the longer title, Dawn of Eternal Night, Annihilation of Planet Earth, and the Beginning of Merciless Damnation. And the two tracks I want to mention here are Witchcraft going into Healer Monster. That first track, Witchcraft, ends on a chord that sounds like a relative major of the key. I'm not sure if that's actually right, but that's what it sounds like. So it's not completely in the key. It's a little bit jarring, but it makes sense for a song and for that piece, really. But then it perfectly transitions into that next track, Healer Monster, which has a different sound. And if you haven't listened to that album, it's quite interesting. It's a metal album, really. Thrash metal album, which I don't think I would have expected from them. That fits super well. There's not much more to say about that one, but it caught my attention the most in the year gone by. That's why that's there. That's my number one.
Yeah, crafting a good transition is a difficult thing to do, because you've really got to think about your songs and how they link together and how you can it takes some forethought and craft, really, to make it not sound like it's just been slapped on the end. I think it's good to celebrate the ones that are done really well. Elle, what's your list?
Okay, so my list is... I've chosen a song from five different albums that I really enjoyed this year. But specifically the songs I've chosen, the five that make up my list, are ones that just included lyrics that have stayed in my head. since I heard them for the first time, whether that be because it was like something that was just like gut wrenching in the moment, or just something that's just like an earworm that I can't get out of my head. So when I was kind of reflecting on 2023, these were the songs that came to mind when I thought, oh, what lyrics could I kind of pinpoint as being from 2023? So starting off, and this is going back to more like the start or early 2023, which when I kind of remembered, like when I listened to this album, I was like, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago. But it's the Daisy Jones and the Six soundtrack cast recording album. I don't know if it's, we kind of touched on this the other week as well, but I don't know if it's like a soundtrack or a cast recording. It's kind of like somewhere, it's like a kind of unique thing, which I also wanted to kind of highlight because I felt it was a really interesting album for that, in that it's a soundtrack to a TV show, but the TV show is about the band Daisy Jones and the Six, and so the soundtrack is then also the album that they are recording within the show's premise, and so there's like a lot of layers to that, which I just thought was really interesting, and I'm excited to see kind of going forward with more adaptations of, you know, books about music, or just kind of more TV shows or films that explore musical artists, whether that kind of thing happens again, because I mean, it was like a huge success. And I think it's a really interesting piece of art to have an album that stands on its own as an album, but is fictional. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing. But the lyric, well, the song that I chose for this list because of the lyric is from the song Let Me Down Easy, entirely because when I heard it, I was like, that's going to be stuck in my head for a very long time. And it's still like, I just have to like see the phrase or just like hear like one bar of the song, and I'm like, that's stuck in my head for the rest of the day now. If you've not listened to it, be warned if you do go and listen to it, that it will not leave your head, because it has just like the catchiest little hook for that chorus, for the Let Me Down Easy lyric, which, yeah, it's partly why it kind of made my list, because it was one of the ones that I remembered because it's so catchy. But also there's just something about like the simplicity of it. So the lyric is... if you're going to let me down easy, which is kind of, if you've seen the show or read the book that the show is based on, there's a lot of layers to that lyric as well, in terms of kind of the dynamics between characters, which makes it really interesting. But also if you're just approaching the song without that context, there's still something kind of like, it's a very simple lyric, but there's a lot to kind of think about there. Like if you're putting yourself out there and someone's got to let you down, they're rejecting you in some way, like asking them to let you down easy rather than like it being a harsh rejection, I think in itself is quite a brave thing to ask of someone, like just say like, look, I know you're gonna reject me, but like, can you at least be nice about it? So that's just kind of stuck with me a little bit, mostly because it's really catchy, and I recommend the album, but do be warned that that song will not leave your consciousness, potentially for the rest of time. Okay, I kind of ranked these in order, but not like hugely in order, so I'm not going to be beholden to the order in which I ranked these. But the next song comes from the Maisie Peters album, which I've been a fan of Maisie Peters. So Maisie Peters is an artist that I feel like she's kind of gotten quite popular over the past like couple of years or so. And she started out making YouTube videos, and I remember her YouTube videos, and she would always do like a clap sync to start, and I always remember that. So now sometimes when I listen to her songs, I'm like almost expecting like her to start with a clap. But anyway, that's just a side note. But she's released, I think this is, I want to say this is her second album. She's got a couple of like singles and things like that that she's released as well. But she released this year the album The Good Witch. And just side note as well, the marketing for it was so good. It was all like tarot card themed. It was great fun. Really good crack, recommend. But the song I've chosen from that album is History of Man, which is just, it's a really, I really enjoy it just like as a song, like melodically and everything as well. But the premise is essentially, I guess, kind of using the idea of a man rejecting a woman in terms of like a romantic relationship, but framing it within the quote unquote history of man, very kind of like streamlined version, where it talks about the kind of historic instances of men blaming women or hurting women, and how that kind of continues to play out, like that pattern of a dynamic plays out. There's a lot of lyrics in here that I really, really enjoy. It's a great one, like once you've learned it to then like scream sing along to. Really recommend. But the one that's kind of really stuck with me ever since I first heard the song is the men start wars, yet Troy hates Helen, which as a little bit of a history nerd as well, I was like, wow, love that. Love a Troy reference. More of that, please, in songs in 2024. More just like antiquity references. I think we're lacking in antiquity references, and it's a crying shame, actually. So if, you know, we could, you know, amp up the antiquity references going forward, that'd be great. But yeah, there's a lot I could say about this lyric. It's just really, I think, powerful. Kind of picking, like, historically a lot of men have started wars. That's not to say women haven't, you know, we're not perfect. But the idea of the men start wars, but Troy hates Helen in terms of like the Trojan War, and Helen, her power was rooted in the fact that she was beautiful. And there's so much to unpack there that I was like, oh gosh, that's such a like succinct line that really, I feel like I could write like a full essay just on that line. And I just really, yeah, really enjoy it. And the song has lots of like little references to kind of, I was going to say famous relationships. I don't know if Troy and Helen is what you'd call a famous relationship. I feel like famous relationship, my mind goes like, oh no, Brangelina. But anyway, there's also like a Samson Delilah reference. It's a good song. I'm going to stop talking about it because I'm just rambling now. But it's a great song. Okay. Next up, we have... Okay, I've picked two from the same album, because this album was my most listened to album of the year. I would just kind of listen to it on loop. So the album is, I don't know how to pronounce the surname as well. So it's, I think it's Noah Kahan? 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 It's spelled K-A-H-A-N. I feel like I can never pronounce artist names. But anyway, another great artist. Again, one I've listened to for years, and he's always had like certain songs where I feel like there are certain songs that he's had that I'm like, wow, I really feel that. I've not explained that well at all, but essentially there's just lyrics that he's had where I'm like, god, that really captures a feeling so well. And he released, I think it was actually at in 2022 he released the album called Stick Season, but I listened to it loads in 2023. Another great album, would recommend if you're into kind of singer songwriter kind of sad but, you know, good vibes. Anyway, the album is melodically, it's really good, but lyrically there's so much in it that I really loved, which is why I ended up picking two tracks for this list. So the first track that I chose for this list is Orange Juice, which, okay, so when, I don't know about you guys, but my association with orange juice is like, yeah, tasty, delicious, cures a hangover. Reminds me kind of like of summer, or like, you know, it feels like bright as a concept for a song. I was like, yeah, that's going to be great. I don't know why I thought that, because I'd already listened to like a bunch of the songs on the album prior to this track, and they're all, you know, pretty sad. So I don't know why I was like, we're going to get something upbeat. Because we do not. This is another gut-wrenching song where essentially the kind of narrator of the song is speaking to a person who you can kind of deduce has a drinking problem, and they're inviting them over to like a family gathering or a friends gathering, and kind of saying, you can come over, that, you know, you can just drink orange juice, we just want to see you. Which is, yeah, not the happy-go-lucky bop that I thought orange juice as a track would be, but it's a beautiful track, and it's got just some really beautiful lyrics in it. So kind of it starts with, honey, come over, the party's gone slower, and no one will tempt you, we know you've got sober, which I was like, oh, that's such a lovely way of kind of phrasing it, of kind of like saying to someone, you know, I'm going to dispel your fears straight away, like you can still come over and be part of this. We're not going to kind of enable those destructive kind of patterns. And then it also has lyrics where you're like, oh God, that's really horrifying. So it's got, it kind of talks about, a lot of the album talks about returning to like a hometown and that kind of thing. And so in this track, it talks about driving through a hometown, and it says, see the graves as you pass through from our crash back in 02. Not one nick on your finger. You just asked me to hold you. And I was like, God, that's horrifying. Like, because the implication is that the crash was caused perhaps by some sort of drunk driving incident. And it's just, so Noah's delivery is very kind of, mostly pretty kind of soft and gentle, so hearing those kind of lyrics where you're like, God, that's actually harrowing, is kind of doubly harrowing because it's delivered in quite a gentle way. So yeah, if you're looking for something harrowing, orange juice is a great one, so enjoy that.
I can't wait to take that audio snippet out of context. If you're looking for something harrowing, orange juice.
It has also ruined orange juice to me. Now every time I drink a glass of orange juice, I'm like, oh God, like, it's pretty dark. But it's a great song. It's just really, you know, heavy subject matter. Okay, so yeah, like I said, there are two tracks on this album, but the other one I've chosen is like my top from the year, so I will come back to that. And so is this the fourth or the second? I don't know which way I'm going up, surely.
The second, I think.
Second, then. Yeah. Because I'll have gone at,
well, number two.
I can't count. That's embarrassing. Anyway. Yeah. So second on my list is, and this will be a surprise to no one who knows me, but it's a Taylor Swift song. And look, I know that, you know, we've been oversaturated with Taylor Swift in 2023, and no doubt we will continue to be oversaturated with Taylor Swift in 2024. But I love her. I've loved her since I was like 10. It's not going away. And everyone in my life just needs to, you know, put up with me about it. So I knew I was going to choose a Taylor Swift song because I'm pretty much always listening to Taylor in some capacity. And so the one that I've chosen came from 1989 Taylor's version, which she released back in October. Kraken, again. I feel like I don't need to say that. It's a great album. Everyone knows it. But I chose Is It Over Now, which is the final track on the album. It is a vault track, so it wasn't on the original album back when it was released, back in, I want to say 2014. So this is, it's like a bonus track for this release. And it's just great. So essentially it's talking about the kind of end of a relationship, and it's kind of listing various moments in the end of a relationship and saying, is it over now? So kind of saying, like, at what point did this relationship fully end? And there are lots of kind of like points that she says where you're like, oh gosh, that's a really like good way of capturing like the different points of a relationship breakdown, rather than it being kind of just like a one and done thing, because that's not really how breakdowns of relationships work. You know, there's lots of kind of ending moments. So I was like, that's just, you know, I think an interesting concept for a breakup song, is thinking about the kind of different kind of points on the timeline, which, yeah, was good. but the bit that I kind of wanted to pick out was, partly, the thing is, I don't think this is lyrically like Taylor Swift's like strongest song. I think she has better written songs. I actually don't think 1989 is her best lyrically. But what I enjoyed about this is also like partly the delivery of it. So it's quite a, like, I'm not going to say rapid because it's not like super fast, but there's definitely like a speed to it, a tempo to it that kind of, I think, helps drive the story along, the narrative along. So it's got, talking about the kind of end of a breakup, and it says, let's fast forward 300 awkward blind dates later. If she's got blue eyes, I will surmise that you'll probably date her. You dream of my mouth before it called you a lying traitor. And I just really enjoy that kind of like selection of lyrics, because I think it's, well, it's just like a fun little section of lyrics. I think it captures like the mood and the tone of the song really well. But I think the delivery is what really makes it, is because it's quite punchy. You get those rhymes work really well. So the kind of later, date her, traitor, it just scratches an itch when those rhymes work so well in a song. And, you know, I think there's always something to be said for, you know, lyrics don't have to rhyme. It's not, you know, a kind of like requirement of a song, but sometimes it works really well in a song when you do have those rhymes that just work so well, and you're like, God, that's delicious. And that's what I really enjoy about this one, is like, it's just, I think, well written in that respect, where you're like, it just on the ear sounds really good to have those rhymes. So I enjoy it. And then lastly on my list, going back to my boy Noah. What guy? Hope he's well, because his songs suggest otherwise. This is from the... So the song is on the kind of original album, the Stick Season album. But the one I specifically want to reference is from the extended album. So the song is called The View Between Villages. And it's... on the extended album, it's then the extended version. And the reason I chose this track is, again, like I said, with the whole of this album, I know it's just like beautifully written. So a couple of lyrics that I kind of picked out from this one. This one, like I said, the album talks a lot about kind of leaving a hometown and that kind of thing. So this, again, like explores that, about kind of being older and returning to a hometown and the complicated feelings you might have with that. So with this track, it's kind of, he's on a road in his hometown, and he says, for a minute the world seemed so simple, feel the rush of my blood, I'm 17 again, I'm not scared of death, I've got dreams again. Which really hit me as someone who moved back to their hometown in 2023 and has had a lot of complicated feelings about it. That really got me, because I was like, God, I remember being 17 in my hometown so vividly. And that kind of heady feeling of being like 17 or a teenager and not being scared of death, being kind of reckless and fearless because you're a teenager, like that's kind of your MO. So when I heard that, I was like, oh God, I'm going to cry. And then I did. But anyway, what I really love about specifically this extended version is it then has spoken parts from people from his hometown. So it has kind of, I was gonna say characters, they're not characters, they're real people. but they kind of talk about what the town means to them. So kind of saying like, oh, it's a community, you know, we all look out for each other. And it's just got those little sound bites, which I always really like when a song incorporates that kind of thing. I think it just adds a little texture, a little kind of bonusness, which is really nice. And with this one, I was like, I think it works so well with the song and with the concept of the album about exploring your identity in terms of your identity in relationship to your hometown, where you grew up, and then part and parcel of that, who raised you and the community that raised you. So having those little spoken bits are just like chef's kiss beautiful. They just work so well. And then you get this kind of soaring like harmony in the background that then comes in and the song like builds, and it's just a really good song. And if you're looking for the ideal kind of context in which to listen to this song, I would recommend either driving through your hometown or running through your hometown and having this like full blast. And I think that's the way it's meant to be listened to. And yeah, those are my, that's my five things. I still haven't come up with a name for the ranking. Songs, albums, stuff.
I'm just changing my list at the last minute. Because I want to.
Rogue.
My list is going to be of albums that I think have been overlooked by end of year lists. Mm. Like many music fans, I spend a lot of time in December just scrolling through endless end of year best albums lists and seeing, trying to find things that I've missed through the year, or like hidden gems, or particular things that maybe I want to revisit or I've forgotten about and stuff like that. But I feel like there are some albums that have seemed to have just been overlooked that I think are really, really good. I'm going to frame it as recommendations for each of you. So I'll give each of you two recommendations each, and then I'll throw one out for the community who are listening.
Exciting.
So the first one... James, I'll give this as a recommendation for you. The album's called All Around You. It's by the band Subsonic Eye. They're a band from Singapore, like indie rock type band. And I think the reason this one hasn't ended up on many end of year lists is because they seem to kind of peak in popularity on their last album. I think it was called Nature of Things or something like that. And they were like, I think they might have been Radio 6's album of the year that year, like kind of really got traction with the indie scene. I think people kind of heard this, and for whatever reason, the reviews weren't quite as positive that I saw. People thought it was kind of more of the same, but I think this album's a lot stronger than that one. I think the themes are done really well. There's the opening track's about kind of like living up to your own principles. It's called Performative. And it's kind of talking about the actions that you take, and like, are you really kind of doing the right thing, and that kind of stuff. There's another song about exhaustion, and a lot of it I just feel like does really embody at least my experience of kind of being in my 20s at this point in time. I think it works really well. And just generally, like, the songs have like really strong melodic hooks in the guitars, in the bass lines, in the drums, so I think it comes together really well. And I think that's that kind of rock I think you'd be into, James.
You're not allowed at L, only I listen to it.
I can only listen to it like through James. It's like James listens to it, tells me about it, and then I kind of have to work out maybe what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's like if you're alive in the but pre-internet age, and you had to just read magazines about albums and be like, I guess that sounds like something I could be on board for. Here's one for you then, Al. This album's called My Name Is. It's by What Is Your Name. It's quite a, I would probably describe it as twee, emo record. It's also quite chaotic. I'd recommend it for, if you're a fan of like American football, or Stars, or those kinds of bands. But it just has like all of the, just has all of the feels, you know? And it is chaotic, and it's a bit all over the place, and it does a lot of different stuff. And they released another album this year that I didn't think was quite as good, but this one just, I feel like it hits those early 2000s kind of Midwest emo tinged indie pop, and it just works really well. I just really like it. I think it's emotional and interesting.
I have just looked up and I've seen on the track list that there is a track that's got, you know, that technique of writing like lowercase and uppercase like sporadically throughout, and I'm not gonna lie, that's already drawn me in. I'm like, yeah, I'll give that a go. I'm attracted to simple things.
You're attracted to chaos, come on.
Yeah, I'm attracted to it. Yeah, let's go with that. That sounds better than just being like, oh, I like the lowercase uppercase combo.
I like my song titles to look like Xbox gamer tags.
Yeah. I like my song titles to look like 2013 internet lingo.
So James, this is your second one. It's called Island of Love by Island of Love. I saw this band just like completely on a whim. They were playing outside Thekla when I got my ticket, when I was like collecting my wristband at Dot to Dot. I only caught like the end of their set, but I thought they were so good live. And this was, I can't remember if this was this year or in the past, but I kept an eye on them, and then their album came out afterwards. And it is really good. And this is one that I don't think I've seen on any end of year lists. Like, I haven't seen any kind of publicity or like hype around it, really. But it's like this big, brash UK rock album. And it's just fantastic. It sounds like it's maybe taking bits from bands like Built to Spill and that kind of stuff. And there are just some great moments. Like, there's one track that you were talking about transitions. One track that leads on from the last one is basically just them doing an extended guitar jam. And it's, you know, just great guitar work, fun lyrical lines. Yeah. Great record.
I also love that the Apple description is not like a whole, or a load of paragraphs like other albums. It's just indie rock vulnerability buried under mountains of guitar distortion. So, yeah, sounds good.
El, the second one I'm going to recommend to you is Johnny by The Drums. I think this is an interesting one because I think it's been overlooked because I think on the surface it seems like it's another Drums album. And partly I love The Drums. They're great. But I think that's not doing the album enough credit to just take it as that. I think actually what they've done on it is really interesting. The sequencing on this album, again, going back to transitions, actually, loads of the tracks just run into each other. Like, you wouldn't notice that it's a new song. It just feels like a new moment or a different like section of it. They all kind of spill into one another. And I think he's been moving towards trying to be more personal on the albums recently. I think this is the one where he really sticks the landing on it. And he, you know, there's kind of really powerful moments where he's talking about how he didn't have a mother growing up and how that's kind of scarred him, and how he, you know, he feels like he doesn't know how to love properly because of that. And he feels like he's missing, like, he doesn't know what it is, but he was missing something from that experience. And there are other, you know, just fantastic lyrical moments on there too. It's a shame that it seems like it's been written off a bit, because I think it's great.
I will be checking it out. You've lured me in with the promise of great lyrics. So I'll be reporting back. I have also looked at the track list for this, and the final track is called I Used to Want to Die. So I feel like already I'm going to be emotionally wrecked by this album, which, you know, I'm into. So I'm excited to give it a go.
It definitely has those like emotionally wrecking moments, but it also doesn't give up on the kind of really catchy, cheery, like upbeat drum songs in there. So you get I mean, the opening of the album has quite a few, Better being one of the notable ones. But then you get other tracks like Plastic Envelope is another kind of cheery sounding drums track. And yeah, so there's kind of a good balance, I think, where it's not going to just devastate you. It's also going to give you some bops.
Yeah, that's what I'm about. I want to cry, but I want to like dance while crying. You know, It's the balance.
The last album I want to talk about, I don't know that I'd specifically recommend it to either of you, but I wanted to talk about it, so I'm putting it as my fifth one. It's called Tonal Science Module 8. It's been released by this label Tone Science, who I don't know if it's this year or last year, but they've been set up reasonably recently. It's a sub-label of Din Records, who are a UK dance music label based out of Sunderland, I think. But this sub-label's basically all focused on like modular synth music. So that's kind of their whole thing, is like modular stuff. This album specifically, I think, is really interesting because it's made up of live performances. So it's like a recording of this, I guess, like day festival they did. So there are recordings of 6 performances from different musicians. And then the final track is a collaborative performance with all of those musicians working together with their modular synths. And it doesn't necessarily work as a traditional album experience because it's like 7 hours long, because each of the sets is like an hour and a half. But all of the sets are really, really good. So even if you sit down and you listen to one of them and then come back and listen to maybe a different one at another time, I think it's a really engaging experience. And I just think, you know, modular synths are not really a novelty at the moment, I think, particularly within the YouTube space of synth people. They're kind of everywhere, and it's kind of the in thing. But these performances don't sound like, you know, the same people playing with the same modules all of the time. Like that, all of these artists are doing interesting stuff with the technology. And having that final performance where they're all working together, I think, gives the whole project like this coherence. And yeah, I just think it's an interesting concept and somehow actually works as a kind of whole, even though it is quite different in terms of each of the performances. So yeah, those are my 5 overlooked albums that I think were really good from this year.
Do we get to know, you said you changed your list at the last minute. Do we get to know how it changed?
Instead of Island of Love, I was going to talk about the Drins album from this year, Today My Friend You Drunk the Venom, which is also a very good album, which is like, it's like a throwback to early post-punk, like serious dub influences, really lo-fi sound. Which is good. I think I saw it on a few lists. I think Brooklyn Vegan might have put it on theirs. Obviously not many, but it turned up on a few. I thought Island of Love may be a lesser known one. But yeah, it was kind of hard to whittle it down to 5. Because I was looking through, so I made a top 40 of the year list, as I usually do at an end of year list, and of the albums on it, 17 were ones that we reviewed and 23 were ones that we didn't. So I was trying to pick from the 23 and then try and get down to 5 and think about which ones have been on lots. Because there are some albums in there that I really loved, like Julie Byrne's album this year is fantastic. But it's also on lots of other people's year-end lists. The same with Hotline TNT's album. Again, very good, but you could find that on a bunch of outlets, places.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to, because you were like, just a list of 5, and I was like, I could do anything. And so initially I was just like writing down albums that, you know, I really loved this year. And then I was like, yeah, but a lot of these, you know, I was like, I loved them, but I don't really know what to say about them. I'm just like, they're bangers, go listen to them. And then I was like, oh, I don't know how to, I guess, yeah, like put them into a kind of list of 5 that made sense. So in the end, I didn't. I just went with lyrics. I was like, these lyrics slap. But yeah, there were loads of albums that I was like, oh, maybe I could just do like five great albums of 2023 and just be like, go listen to that. But I was like, there's less of a spin when you do that. You're just like, go listen to that album.
Well, I think we now have a lot to listen to in this winter drought. We have a lot of homework to do, I guess.
Yeah, but of course, James, we're only allowed to listen to certain albums.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Don't step outside of your zone. Stay in your boxes. Speaking of what we'll be listening to, we're going to be back next week with a review for the first time in a month. Normally, this is kind of the point in the show where I tell you what that's going to be, but I haven't seen anything announced that's going to be out that I think would be interesting. So I'm just kind of praying that I stumble across something that's been shadow dropped or that's maybe seems interesting from Bandcamp that we're going to review. So pray for us.
Whatever it is, it will be rated number one by us that week.
That's very true.
Yeah, actually. So if you have an album that you want to be rated number one, send it our way.
Yeah, release it quickly now on Bandcamp. Yeah. Let us review it. And then by the time the CD comes out, you can put a little sticker saying number one. Unmuted, Unmastered on the shrink wrap. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
If you like the show, you can subscribe on your podcast service of choice and consider turning on notifications. New episodes come out every Monday. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at unmutedunmastered@gmail.com. Now, I've already talked about what the album's going to be for next week, so that's it.